has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. We thank you for joining us. Get the buttons pushed. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. Glad to be here, gentlemen.
Amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma again.
Amen. And we welcome all that are tuned in. And guys, as usual, I'll be here standing by, and I'll sure let you know when we get the callers.
Thank you, sir.
Sounds good.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have been set free from that which has tormented them, that which has bothered them, that which has hindered them, all done through the act of called deliverance by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We do thank you for joining us this evening. And if you have any questions at all about deliverance, you could go to deliveranceusa.com. On that webpage is a wealth of information. Just about everything that's talked about on this program each week is available there on the website. Or you can get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. If you need that book, give him a holler, and he'll get it out to you. And we do thank you for being with us this evening. And, Pastor, good evening.
Good evening. It's been a wonderful, nice day down here. 57
here.
Or 8. Yeah. We'll
yeah,
take
we hit
it
the,
for
hit
December.
The lower 60s today. Yes, we hit the lower 60s today. So it
yeah.
was definitely nice. Definitely nice. We survived what was supposed to be the big snowstorm. People were talking about it all last weekend. We were going to get anywhere from 3 to 8 inches, and we didn't get anything. So,
yeah. Well, it was the same down this way. It was dry. So, but
yeah.
That's okay. We'll take it still.
Pastor, I stumbled across something on the internet this evening that someone had shared through social media, and I found it really interesting. Because it seems like every time science starts to figure things out, it's things we've come across and discussed the Bible's done figured out a long time ago. and it was the words, the title of the words is People with Depression Are More Likely to Say Certain Words. And as you go through the article, it talks about those with depression have a tendency to say the negatives and speak the negatives. But as I was reading it, with the understanding that we know that depression is a spirit, and what comes of that spirit is lies, usually a programmed lie assignment against the person. And it's just, as you see the words they say, well, you're nothing. That's what comes out of the words. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm this or I'm that. And it just made me think about the what the Word talks about, the power of life and death is in the tongue, and everything that's laid out in the Bible about the how our words can harm us and how our words can heal us. And I just found it funny that in the article, one of the things they said it could work towards it is try to get the people to change their language.
Well, the Bible is so clear on this, extremely clear, that we are to be saying positives. And it, quite frankly, the Word is made up of positives. If we give that those I ams out on a yellow handout, as we call it, that is a grouping of scriptures of who we are in Jesus. And I can tell you what, anybody that says those out loud, well, they're all positives of who we are. Can't help but build you up. As I often say, when I read those out loud, I tend to want to beat my chest, you know. Well, I'm filling myself with positives. But by contrast, this is what you were saying. There are so many people out there speaking negatives all the time. And yes, that lie program is going on in their heads, coming from the lying demons. We run into those constantly. And they're buying the lies. So how much of the world is doing that? Well, a high percentage, no doubt.
Enough. Some psychologists did a study on it. But you know, we already do that. And it's just I like when I come across these articles where science just goes ahead and proves what the Bible says is true. And anytime science is honest, it always does. And it's just the importance of speaking the I ams. It does help you flex your spiritual muscles when you say those things. And we've often said, I know Pastor Peter's often said it as well, you think long and hard when you say the words I am, what comes out next. Because you can speak it. You can speak it into existence.
We're in control.
Yes, we are. Pastor, how'd deliverance go this Monday?
Well, we had 9 cases, Ralph. And plenty of ministers, so it came off nice. It was a very comfortable evening. I, however, had a very tough case. It was one of the team leaders has a niece, and his boyfriend. I really wasn't aware of all the details, but she wanted me to minister to him, and so I said okay. Well, he's on meth, we find out, even when he came, and I could not communicate with him, even though he sat there. His girlfriend kept trying to keep him seated. He kept standing up and mumbling when I'm doing the teaching. And then when it came to do the door closing prayer, same deal. He's standing up, walking around, and his mouth was moving, but as it was obvious, he wasn't saying the door closing prayer. He was just mumbling all their stuff. And so that's one of those cases. You know, we have these steps we go through, and they work well, but you have to communicate, and the person has to engage. I couldn't even communicate with this. I remember struggling, I went ahead and went through the list, just hoping somehow, supernaturally, we might knock something loose. And I kept trying to tell him to say go, and I was having a hard time getting him to do that. In fact, at one point when I was saying, you know, in Jesus' name, go, trying to get him to come against that spirit I was addressing, he stands up and he's going all right out the door. We had a private room since I knew this would be a tough one, and his girlfriend stopped him. And but it was a very disappointing case. So, you know, people have to, for us to do is what we do well and get people a Jesus overhaul. We've seen many people set free from drugs, but they had to engage. They had to go let us take them by the hand and where we could communicate and have them repeat and things. So it was disappointing. We see a little bit of everything, Ralph.
Well, it is a tough case when they're under the influence of a strong drug like that. I tried to work with two people both times that were on methamphetamines at the time. The one time I didn't know it, and had heavy manifestations during the deliverance session, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And we finally got to the root cause. She admitted and pulled out the drugs out of her pocket with the pipe she'd been smoking it with. And once I got her to smash that and renounce it, they went out just like that. That was the last door holding. And of course, I went in that not knowing she had been using. And then I worked with someone once that had told me and confessed that he'd used earlier that day. And it was the same type of thing. I couldn't keep him on track, couldn't do anything. And he finally had to leave. And, you know, he said, well, I'll get back with you on it. But I felt that in my spirit that he wasn't quite ready for it. And I've never heard from him again. So it is a shame. You can only do so much for these people. And, you know, I often see the criticism of the Christianity when they say, well, how come these deliverance ministers or faith healers and stuff aren't going to the hospital, aren't going to this or going to there? And my answer is, well, you show me in Scripture where they went to the hospitals. The people that wanted the healing were ready for it. The deliverance were ready for it, and they sought it out.
And they came to Jesus.
Yes. They came to Jesus.
There was a cocaine case some years ago. A man came from Dallas, so he was ready. He wanted to change. He needed help. He knew, as he told us, he was going to kill him. And so when he came and his pastor came with him, a pastor friend, actually, but they came, and sure enough, we got that stuff cast out, and he was overhauled. But he was reaching out, and he came that distance, and he's saying, I'm ready. This person last night was not saying anything that we could comprehend. So, but praise God, we can help some. And that drives us on to keep doing it.
Yes.
He was set free that night. It was a beautiful case. I even interviewed him a year later for the radio show I was doing then here in Oklahoma City, and he told how he'd had a year of freedom. So,
wasn't that the praise God on that? Didn't you end up filming that?
The Channel 5 local TV station actually videoed that night. Did you see that video?
Yes, sir, I have. And it seems to me that, and I know you handed out on some of your on some of the CDs that you have available at ministry, but I don't know if that's available on the website or not. So, but that
no, it seems like we had it on at one time, but I don't think we do right now.
Pretty awesome to see when you see those type of manifestations there. And of course, you know, even with the door closing prayer, when they're on a drug like that, you're going to have manifestations, because that's a major door opener. So we don't give hope, because our Jesus is bigger than any methamphetamine, bigger than any heroin addiction, bigger than any cocaine addiction, bigger than any alcohol addiction. Our Jesus is bigger than all that, and there is deliverance, there is hope within him. And that's why we named the show Hope Is Alive, because there is that hope. And even Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, even we can overcome that if they want help.
Yes.
So Pastor, we do have a longtime listener for the radio program. I'm going to be meeting a family, I think around the 28th, 29th of this month. They're coming from out of state. They've got a sister that lives not too far from me, and we're going to meet together, and I'm going to do deliverance on them. Talk to them and set that up today, so praise the Lord on that.
Awesome. And I know you'll do well. They're reaching out. Amen.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. That's reaching out. I mean, they're driving quite a ways. And I said, yes, if you make the time to drive that far, I'll make the time to do deliverance. I'm looking forward to doing that. And hopefully we'll get those knocked out and set free for them, and just looking forward to that. So praise the Lord on that. And that's just about the only deliverance update I have.
We have people drive long distances from and fly in even, and that's been going on for years. And they say, there's no one doing this in my state. So they fly in. And, you know, that's why we're on the air tonight, is trying to get the word out to people. There are answers in Jesus with your problems. And so typically it's deliverance where we can actually cast out an associated spirit, and then the problem is gone. It has to be one of the best deals around.
Yeah, it is. And the price that Jesus gives is not that expensive, because it's a free gift of grace.
That's right.
You got to like the price on it from there. Pastor, we have Jesse on the line. Jesse, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi there, Jesse. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And Jesse, you might back away or not talk quite as loud, and I think it'll sometimes it distorts some here on the radio when you speak too loud. But I'm so excited you called in. I know
okay.
You have a lot of testimonies to share, so why don't you give some background on yourself and history and how you, when you were born again and then learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Well, I came to the Lord in 1972. I was 27. I was not a very good person at that time. I actually came to the Lord through fear. I didn't want to go to hell. But I became so fearful, I was actually driving home. We lived in Waco, Texas. I was driving home, and I finally, the fear was so great on me that I said, God, if you'll just let me get home, I'll try to figure out how to do this. And so it was funny, all the fear just left, and I got home and forgot about it. And about a couple of weeks later, I was driving down the road, and I saw this little church, and that fear came back, and I thought, oh, man, I got to do something about that, you know. And, I mean, it was just a trembling fear.
Yeah.
And we went to that little church, and I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't know anything about God. I'd never been in church. And I got it. It was a church. It was very, very religious. And I really, for about a six-month period, tried to live that way. I quit doing everything. And, man, I was a miserable person. And I finally went to the pastor one day, and I said, what do Christians do for fun? You know, I was very serious. I wasn't joking about it, but it came to a thing, some things that he tried to share with me on the way he believed, and I just couldn't accept it. It wasn't my idea of a decent lifestyle, and I walked away from it all for another year. And my wife became pregnant with our son, and she got deathly ill, and I had to move her back to Oklahoma, and I stayed down there working, and I went back to the drinking and the partying, and I came home one night, late night, and it was all alone. I sat down on the floor and cried. I bawled like a baby. I said, God, if you're real, you got to show me something. And, boy, he did. He really did. it felt like something grabbed my mouth and shut my mouth. I was scared to death. And then all of a sudden, something just poured in the top of my head. It was just so awesome. And it just kept going. I kept looking at it down my arms, and I'm thinking something's going to squirt out my fingers. But it didn't. Uh-huh. And it just stopped there, and it went on down to my feet. And I got to looking at my toes, and I'm thinking it's going to squirt out my toes, you know. It didn't. And all of a sudden, I had the most awesome peace that I don't even know how to explain it. That nothing mattered.
Praise God.
Except His love. And I'd never been a loving person, but I experienced that, and I just, from that point in my life, I just wanted to show it to people, but I didn't go back to church for 10 years. But I studied and I prayed, and God, for 20 years or better, I finally got into fellowship with people that had experienced things like I'd experienced. Because while I was sitting there on that floor, my mouth opened up and these funny words started coming out of my mouth. I didn't know, have a clue what it was. For 2 or 3 hours, it just kept coming out. It sounded like baby talk, you know. I didn't know anything about anything. And fell asleep on the floor. The next morning I woke up, those sounds still coming out of my mouth. It wasn't until later in the day that I could talk English again.
Wow.
And it was just, it was so awesome. When I finally come back to Oklahoma with my wife, I'd sit down to pray and that stuff would come out and she'd just back off, you know. She was afraid of it. And then I contacted my brothers who were very religious young men back then, and they thought I had the devil, you know, but I said, we can't be the devil, man. It's too awesome. Every time you pray, you just feel like you're going to burst with joy. And then, probably after about 20 years, I started having problems again, because I wasn't in fellowship, and I thought, well, maybe I need to go to church, and I got into a good teaching church, and then started understanding a lot of things, but when I would talk to them about spiritual things, they didn't want to hear it, and I started having these horrible nightmares again and stuff. I thought, man, something's really wrong. And then I heard of Everett's ministry. And I was I didn't hear good things about it because I was in a denominational church. And they said, well, you know, that's just bad stuff. You shouldn't get involved. But the Lord kept leading me there. And I went to one of the Monday night meetings, and just through prayer, watching other people is what I mainly went for, but one of the ministers ministered to me. That's been 8 or 9 years ago now, and the joy came back, and the love came back in my heart, and now I am one of the ministers there, and I can see that joy come on people, and I can see that smile when people get free from things they don't even know are there. They think it's just them. And the Lord is not just that ministry for setting people free. He opened up a ministry for healing. And it's just, I sometimes I go on and on about it, but it's just part of the Lord's work. And the Lord is so in love with us that He wants us to help our brothers and sisters. He wants us to be happy. He doesn't like us to be miserable. He's so in love with us. And, you know, it's kind of like if you was married to a woman and she was just miserable, you'd do everything in your power to help her get her joy back. And that's the way the Lord does. We don't have to beg Him or plead with Him. We just have to let Him love us. And sometimes we have a hard time letting Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. So what all have you seen in the deliverance world then? you've been at it quite a few years now, Jesse, and is there some areas, some cases that you'd like to share about?
Well, I think the most enjoyable part is young people. And they, I really don't even know how to explain it. When they come in so troubled, or they're hooked on drugs, or I saw some awesome miracles where, and really just recently, really neat. I had a husband and wife that were both heroin cocaine addicts. And I started ministering to them actually at my home. And then I took each one downtown with me, and they were ministered to by other ministers, and they were completely 100% set free with no side effects of heroin and cocaine instantly. I saw cancer healed instantly. I was healed of cancer instantly. I've seen ribs that are broken. You can see the ends of the ribs almost poking through the flesh. Just snap back together. I mean, it's so awesome what the Lord wants to do. And when we allow Him to do it, it's not that He's not up there rolling dice who gets this and who gets that. It's us allowing Him to work through us. And
Amen.
He desires to work through us. You know, the scripture says His eyes search to and fro over the earth to find somebody He can work through. I mean, it's just learning to walk in that love that He has and show people what He's really like. You know, another definition of the word glory in the scriptures, the same Greek word is reputation. And we're His reputation. Says we're His glory, so we're His reputation. So what we do gives Him His reputation. And many times, you know, He doesn't get that from us, a good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our job to show the world what He's really like. And if we did, I can't imagine why the church could fail if they would just get up and do His work.
Yes. Well, those are His commands.
Sir?
He makes it clear He wants us to do it in His name. And
yes.
There's so much need everywhere. You know, it's you'll never run out of people to minister to.
No, we don't.
We have
it's kind of neat. We don't have to go searching for people. They come. Once they hear about it, come to it. They desire it.
All the time. I just went over the reports from last week, and new people, it's every week we have new people that come from all over.
Yeah.
And yet that's a drop in the bucket compared to the need. There's very few people, even Christians, that get an understanding of this kind of ministry. And how it can help them.
Yes. We've had people fly in from all over the country to go through it, you know? Because they've tried everything else. And nothing works.
Yes.
Nothing really works except the Lord.
That's right. Can you think of any other recent cases that you've had that are... You've mentioned quite a few that are spectacular, praise God.
Yeah.
You don't get much more spectacular.
I really consider a lot of them spectacular because it's once a person reaches that point where they realize that all that trash in their life and all that hurt and pain in their life wasn't them. There's a smile that comes on their face that you just can't duplicate. It's so awesome. And it's like a minister's paycheck. It just goes all through you. It's just the love of the Lord can finally reach in and touch them when they get rid of that trash, and they don't know how to do it because the churches don't do it anymore. So it needs ministry. It's the completeness of the ministry of the Lord. And churches are afraid of it for some reason because I guess they just don't know how. But it's all in the power of our Lord's name. And He never leaves us. I had a minister tell me last week, well, don't do it. You need the name of Jesus. And I thought, well, that's silly because there's no other name that you can use. Even the churches are afraid. And they shouldn't be. They should be in the forefront of all this. Every church in the country would be filled every week if they would just get out and do the Lord's work. Instead of putting more programs in or funnier stuff or, you know, just do His work. He's so awesome to us, Liberty. If we just let Him. To me, it's kind of like a tag team wrestling match. You know, He's on the outside, and all we got to do is walk over and touch. But we don't do it. He's so in love with us. And if we just show that love, you know, we've allowed the world to come into the church and rob everything, rob the emotions, rob the love we have. And we don't show that love, the real love. You know, we tell people we love them, but how many people do you hug? And man, I've seen, even in our ministry downtown, I've seen demons flee from people just by hugging them and loving them. Because we are the vessels that hold the Lord. So when we get that close to somebody, they can't, spirits, demons, whatever you want to call them, can't stand it.
Yeah, and we've got a
boy that I brought a few years ago. He spent 17 years in prison. He was a yard boss at McAllister. I mean, that's the roughest guy in prison. And he came to the Lord and was still having troubles. And I brought him downtown, and it was one of the most dramatic deliveries we've had in a long time. And this boy now, he's not a little boy. He's, probably in his late 30s, but he started a church and started a drug rehab home. He has a cure rate of almost 95%. That's far above any national average there is. But he just loves people.
Uh-huh.
And he works good. He brings some
people that need love.
He brings them to deliverance.
People are not loved.
He helps them and disciples them. There's really no way to put a value on this ministry because it just helps so many people. And how many people in the churches, you know, they tell you to suck it up and just read the Bible more and pray harder, and how can you can't do all that? There's something else there because the Lord's word's easy. So if it was something we could do, all these people in the past 100 years would be fixed, and they're not fixed. So we're not. It really upsets me, you know, when pastors and people in the know in the religious world sit here and make excuses for the Lord instead of just doing His work. We're His hands and we're His feet. And I know that's kind of an old cliche, but we don't do it. And this ministry is so valuable. I mean, it is so needed. It ought to be taught in every church.
Well, that's so true. And Jesse, we're running out of time. Just quickly, in a few seconds remaining, what would you say to the people additionally that before we hang up with you?
I think them for this ministry that they're doing. spreading his word. They're doing their thing, and they're doing a great job.
Yes.
It's the love of the Lord. You know, if you go back and look at the word love in the Bible and everything, it's our job to love people. And if we see our brother and sister in need and we don't, and we're, he says we're able to help them and we don't, that's our sin.
That's right.
It's not, it's not talking about physical needs. It's talking about spiritual needs and everything.
Yes, well, we're done. I have to get our next caller, Jesse. Okay. Thank you so much
for
calling, brother, and sharing. That was a beautiful testimony. And I'll see you on Monday night. Amen.
I love you. God bless you.
Love you.
Thanks for joining us, Jesse. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pastor, we have Frank. Frank, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. How's everything going, Everett?
We're blessed again, more and more, Frank. I appreciate you calling, and if you could go ahead and do the same format as we did with Jesse there, just give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then when you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I was born again whenever I was actually 12 years old. That's whenever I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I tell you what, Everett, you know, it was real simple. You know, I was invited to a church, and the pastor, you know, kind of explained that it was a heaven and it was a hell. And he kind of told a little bit about, you know, what hell would be like and what heaven. And asking which one, you know, would I be interested in? I made it. It was pretty simple, you know. It was kind of like a no-brainer, you know. It's, of course, I want to go to heaven, but in today's time, you know, we get a little bit older and we try to make this thing kind of complicated. It's kind of funny, you know. A little kid can make that choice pretty simple, but when you get a little bit older as an adult, that kind of becomes a complicated, you know, question, you know. You're like, well, is it, you know, is hell really literal? Or, you know, that kind of more of a, you know, it just, you know, we make excuses. But anyway, at the age of 12, that's when I actually got saved. As far as my background, I just an entrepreneur, kind of like yourself there, Everett. Done quite a bit of stuff. I know actually I did real estate. I know that you was actually a mortgage broker. I did a little bit of that also too. It was on a small level, but I did that and did a little bit of showing. So I came up more as a entrepreneur, and that's kind of who I am right now. But my introduction to deliverance ministry, actually one of the insurance companies that I'm contracted with, the guy that owns the company, him and his wife is a, you know, Christian, you know, they really good people. And what I know over the years is that everybody's on different levels whenever it comes to, the Bible, you know. So, I gave him a scripture, and I just kind of wanted to see, you know, what he had to say about the scripture. And the scripture was that old, you know, scripture where it talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness, against rulers of darkness in high places. And when I showed him that scripture, he kind of looked at me a little bit, and he kind of shaked his head. And he said, Frank, I believe that, you know. He said, I got somebody I want you to go see. And when he said that, he told me that... He told me about you. He said, I want you to go see this guy by the name of Everett Cox. You know, at a church, he told me, he gave him the address and what time to show up. So I went to the church, and when I went in, and you had about 40 people in the room, you know, and I just sat down, and I was kind of waiting for you to come up, and you finally came up and you started kind of talking, and, you know, you kind of shared a little bit how you, you know, you lost your daughter, you know, when she was 18 years old, and just kind of listening. And And you start talking about evil spirits. And when you start talking about that, it was about 40 people in the room. And I found out it was actually deliverance ministry. I didn't know what I was coming to. I was just kind of coming off a referral to meet you, you know. You asked a question, and the question is, you said, how many Christians do we actually have in this in here today? And at the time, about 40 people in the room, and I didn't raise my hand because I was just more there on a referral. I wasn't there, you know, for no deliverance. I didn't even know it was deliverance ministry. And to be surprised, we had about 35 hands that went up out of the 40. So, I mean, that opened up my eyes there. I'm like, because I didn't really think Christians actually got evil spirits. I was kind of naive, okay? You know, when you look at it on TV, you know, and they kind of growling and all that stuff there, and like, well, those are not Christians, of course, you know? But again, and everything, you know, that kind of opened up my eyes. And what really opened my eyes, you said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start calling these evil spirits out. And when they leave, they generally leave in a yarn. You know, sometimes people burp, you know, may burp them out. Sometimes people may cough them out. Sometimes a person may throw up. You said you even heard of people, you know, they said they feel them coming out their hands and their feet. Okay? So when you start calling the evil spirits out, the whole room, Everett, started yarning. And I'm talking about major yarns. I mean, I start yarning, and when I'm talking about yarning, I'm talking about, like, waking up in the morning yarn, just yarning. I probably yarn over 35 times. I couldn't even stop. And even then, ever looking around, everybody else yarning, I'm saying to myself, man, he must got some kind of yarning trick going on. You know, just kind of naive a little bit, you know. But that whole experience there really kind of opened up my eyes. So what I had to do there, Everett, I wanted to really learn more about, you know, the ministry. So I started taking classes, you know. And another thing that kind of really piqued my interest a little bit, you know, or piqued my interest a little bit is that whenever, you know, I seen, you know, my limbs grow and a couple other limbs grow, I'm like, man, what in the world going on here? So anyway, I started taking classes, took class about 3 or 4 months, and I learned quite a bit, you know, off in the classes. And, but the very first class, or session that I sit in with you ever changed my life. And again, you know, I like to kind of thank you for that because, you know, that whole experience, you know, I look at the world differently. I look at the world the way it needs to be looked at. I mean, I really see now, okay? And it's, and without actually seeing that for my eyes, you know, I wouldn't have that perspective. I wouldn't really understand what really, really goes on. But, that particular experience, I remember you telling me that, it was a family that was from North Carolina and they flew in and you know, people come from everywhere that come down to your ministry, Everett. I mean, they come from everywhere, of course. And this particular family is from North Carolina. And this young boy, he's about 13 years old. And I remember you telling me, you know, Frank, you know, you knew, and all I need for you to do, I just want you to take notes on what you observed. That's all I need for you to do right now. Just take notes. And but before we talk to this young boy, let me tell you a couple things, okay? And I remember you telling me that that the demonic world has a military structure, okay? You got generals, lieutenants, sergeants, you know, and so on. It has a military structure. And what you're getting ready to do is you're going to do a technique that's called the head demon technique. And what that means is that this is more like a shortcut to ministry, okay? So when I heard you say that, I'm like, okay. So, you know, me, you, and a young boy sit down, and you end up pulling up a head demon or one of the head demons, you know. You know, of course, you have us fill out the sheet, and, you know, you ask, you know, tell me the three main things that you're dealing with, and that kind of indicates who maybe one of the head demons may be. But that particular head demon was disobedience. I remember you saying this. You said, now, disobedience, is it any other demons that's in this body that outrank you? And he says, no. He said, is there any other demons in this body that has equal rank to you? And he says, yes. And you ask, okay, so what is his name? And he said, his name is Rebellion. And you said, okay, well, disobedience, I'm going to talk to you. He said, I'm now putting you on notice. You are now a prisoner of war. You are surrounded with war angels. I want you to look up, and I want you to point out the biggest one. And all at once, Everett, you know, I never forget it, that young boy raised his hand up and pointed out, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, we are actually surrounded with angels, okay? And he said, do you see his sword? He said, I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and in the event, if you hesitate or you don't respond, I'm going to have him to poke you 5 times with his sword. And I'm saying, oh, shoot. You know, Bobby Ben knew. You said, first question, does this young man have any curses on his life? He says, yes. He said, you said, how far does it go back? And he says, 7 generations. You said, is that on the dad or the mom's side? And I think that was on the father's side. He said, next question. He said, does he have any other curses on his life? And he says, yes. He said, how far did that go back? And he says, 2 generations. So right there, and I think that was on the mom's side, of course, and that right there, I'm saying to myself, man, they know all that stuff about us? And you went to ask another question, and he hesitated. And you said, war angel, poke him 5 times with your sword. And all at once, I seen the boy move 5 different times. You know, like you, that angel poked him in his shoulder, poke him in his side, poke him in his stomach. I'm like, oh, I'm like, man. Now, it didn't hurt the boy. It hurt the evil spirit in the boy. But, I mean, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is this is something else. And then you said, well, next, what I need for you to do this disobedience, I need for you to put your head over his gift storage box and tell me what gift this young man has. And he started rattling off his gifts. He said, he has a gift of intelligence. He has a gift of strength. He has an athletic gift. He has a gift of honesty. He has a gift that's called a know-how. And this is the deal. The average person, okay, they don't know what their gifts are. He says, so what are your gifts? I don't know. I kind of like to read, and I kind of like to fish, and I don't know. But these evil spirits know. They know more about you than you know about yourself. You know, you ask somebody, what about that generation? They don't know if they don't, first of all, they don't believe the generational curses. And they can't tell you how far back. They can't tell you none of that stuff. So, I mean, I'm looking at this. I know this was authentic. And I'm sitting back thinking, wow, you know, they know quite a bit of stuff about us. And then you ask, and this kind of blew me away, Everett. You ask, disobedience, are you a fallen angel or you one of them other kind of demons? And he said, I'm a fallen angel. And you're like, okay, well, I got another question for you. Now, do you regret falling Lucifer? And when he shaked his head, he says, yes. I'm like, oh, shoot. He said, well, when I get done questioning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you to the foot of Jesus Christ, and you can ask for forgiveness. He may take it, he may not. That's kind of up to him, okay? He said, okay. I'm like, wow. So here it is, you got a demon, you know, that's admitting, you know, that he regrets Father Lucifer. So the story in the Bible, that is real. You know, he kicked him out. So getting involved with your ministry, you know, made the Bible really come alive. I mean, going to church, reading it, I really kind of, I mean, I always believed it, but at the same time, it really just kind of came alive, because in the New Testament, that's all they did. Jesus Christ walked around, him and his disciples, you know, casting out demons. That was a major activity. That's all they did. They cast out demons, they healed the sick, okay, and they preached the word of God. That's all they did. That was a major activity. And that went on just primarily. And after he cast them out, he said, now go and sin no more. So what it did, it really just kind of opened up my mind to, you know, what really goes on. And that ministry that you have there, Everett, is just really, really nice. I mean, I just found out so much information, you know. And those evil spirits, I mean, they do quite a bit to us, you know. And another thing, you know, with that young boy, you said, okay, so you went to ask another question, he kind of hesitated. And me being new, you kind of looked at me and everything and said, now, disobedience, I need for you to stop being disobedient, okay? You said, next time I'm going to have that war angel to cut off your left limb. And I'm saying to myself, oh, shoot, you know. And you said, next question, okay. You said, now, disobedience, what I need for you to do is I need for you to tell me the top 10 lies that you've been lying to this young man about. And when he started rattling off, he said, slow down. So, you know, I'm writing and you writing, and the deal is that another light bulb came on. You know, I'm getting all these thoughts in my head thinking that that's maybe part of who I am a little bit, or I know a lot of stuff is just crazy, you know, maybe impure thoughts, crazy, just stupid stuff. You know, I'm thinking that's part of my brain. But, you know, listening to that evil spirit, they actually get in there and they're actually communicating with us. And I had no idea. So that shed more light on the situation, you know. So, man, I just learned a whole lot in that one session. You asked, you said, okay, so disobedience, how many demons are you in command of in this body? And he says, seven. And then you ask him, how many is rebellion in command of? And he says, 10. So the boy had 17 plus those two. So he had at least about 19 demons in him at the age of 13. And see, the problem is there, Everett, is that the average, you know, Christian really don't believe in them. And they do, they don't think they get in us. And then also, even if they believe them, they don't know how to get them out of people. Or they just think that's just kind of how they are. So, man, the majority of the church, you know, just kind of walks the life of, you know, kind of being deceived to that whole fact that, you know, we get them in us, and that's how come we act, you know, the way we act, you know. And, again, this opened up my eyes to a lot of stuff. I remember coming up in a church, I'm probably about maybe 10 years old, you know. I was probably maybe 13 or 14 years old. And we had a lady at the church, and she did quite a bit in the church, but she was mean. I mean, everybody knew it. And I'm saying to myself, what in the world are they letting this lady, you know, stay in the church? I mean, that's definitely not representing Jesus Christ. And I'm just a young kid, but just mean, full of hatred, you know, rage and violence. And I mean, she was just mean, and everybody knew it. They didn't do anything about it. And I mean, I knew something was going on there. I just didn't know what, but, because of what I was exposed to with the ministry, I understand that, you know, Christians and everything, they get in us, and depending on which one get in us, you know, they can end up, you know, kind of control our lives. And that's what we see. Yes. You know, you got people and everything that, you know, when they really, really out of balance in a certain area, that just kind of tells
Frank,
a little bit of kind of maybe who the head demon is.
Frank, we're about to run out of time, but that is
okay. Typical
of people that have weird things. And yeah. It's not the characteristic of a Christian as you would think, but it's those spirits in there, not in their spirit right. man, but hanging out in the body and the soul area, tormenting. And that's typical of the body of Christ. We find that pretty much the average Christian, unless they've been through this type of ministry, they're going to have their share of demonic activity trying to block their lives. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Frank. We are out of time, and you sure remember a lot more than I do of that case.
Well, I definitely appreciate it, Everett. It's a pleasure, and again, you know, thanks for being a faithful vessel, you know, because we do have a choice in life, and you choose to be used by Jesus Christ, and, you know, let me tell you, at the end, he's going to say, well done. And then again, you know, this ministry that you got is touching a lot of lives, and it definitely touched mine. But again, Everett, I appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Frank. We are out of time. We thank everybody for joining us this evening, and we will see you next week. God bless, and just have a great evening.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.